So I'm very happy to welcome Toby, or TBSPRS, who will give us a talk about the very lifeline of a lot of events. Every participant of these events, of chaos events, has experience with some portion of his project. Toby is a maintainer, or the maintainer, for the Event Fahrplan project for Android. He loves open source. He's a big open data enthusiast and part of the Code for Germany lab in Berlin. And today he's giving us an update on the recent events in the Event Fahrplan project and all the stuff that is planned for the future. So now for the next talk, State of Event Fahrplan 2021. Toby.
Thank you. Welcome to my talk. I hope you had a good night and you enjoy lunch and this talk, or one or the other, or watch the recording in the future. So I will give you an overview, as already told, and also mention some things of the past, and also a quite short introduction if you don't know the project. Before I start, there will be a question and answer session afterwards. The link can be found on the website, in the app, and in the question pad. So you're welcome to join. It will be a Jitsi room, so we can actually talk, and then you can ask all your questions offline without recording. So what is Event Fahrplan, or the DVOG schedule app in this event? It's an Android app where you can consume and read through the schedule of the event and see all the things, take your bookmarks and further things. Works on a smartphone, it works on a tablet, and I will quickly show you the basic features. But before I do so, I'd like to acknowledge that I did not start this project. It was a person named Tux Mobile. At that time, the project was named Camp Fahrplan. And I'm not the only one contributing to this project. There's many people. Big shout out to those. And you can be one of them. But for that, later. So the main thing that you see when you open the app is the schedule grid view. Gives you an overview. On the tablet or on a larger screen, there's more real estate, so you can see multiple columns, multiple rooms at one view. And but on the phone, you can swipe through. If you're in portrait mode or in landscape mode, you see what you see here on the screen, up to four columns. And then it's easy to see which session takes place in parallel. You can take favorites, so you can mark your session as a favorite and then organize them in a list. And you can even export them as plain text or JSON, and you know, do things with it, or just share them with your fellow friends, so they know what you like to see on a particular event and maybe join you. Yeah, and then there's customized highlighting for the grid view that you can switch in the settings. There's an alarm function, so you can be notified before the event or before the session, and then you can set up the alarm time if it's right at the start time, or if you need like some time to go to that room. At a real conference, that can be essential because sometimes the way from one room to another is quite long. There's a change notification. So whenever the schedule changes, the app detects the changes and tells you about it. There's a special screen schedule changes that shows the actual differences. So green goes for a new and orange is for changes. And then there's also a red highlighting when a talk is canceled. There's also ways to configure this in the settings, but you can find that. There's more features. There's a calendar integration, so you can export your sessions or just single ones into your calendar. You can share it. I mentioned that before. You can vote and give feedback on the talks, and you should actually do that because speakers like to hear what you think, and it's anonymous, and you can just tell anything that is related to the talk. And there's integration with third-party apps. So at the Chaos Communication Congress, there was the C3NEV app that allowed you to navigate indoor. And there is an integration where you can go to a session in the app and then navigate to the place where it's happening, and it will actually show you the way. The export feature that I mentioned before is targeting the Chaos Flix app. So once you have picked your favorites and you want to see them in the group recordings, you can take that list, export it for CastFlix, and then watch all your favorite talks in this app. And last but not least, big shout out to all the angels, the heralds, everyone here helping for the event. And there's also some integration for the Engel system. You can actually load your shifts, your personal shifts, into the app, and then there's a separate column so you can see if you're working or if you can enjoy one of the sessions. Okay. Another thing that is that happened last and the year before is translations. So there's quite some translations for the app, and that's mostly because of Hacktoberfest, an online event where you can contribute to open source projects. And a lot of people that I already showed in the first slide is translating the app, and that's why we have many languages. And when there's an event in your country, then you can actually see the app in the native language. What must be translated and separate is the descriptions of the talks. Those are not translated because they are just read from the backend. So shout out again, if you are a native speaker, feel free to contribute with translations or just check the ones that we already have. Here's a short review of what happened in 2020. There were some events, and don't try to like read the details. It's just meant as an overview. So over the year, those green bubbles, there's quite some events happening. And I'm trying to cover those events with an app and also updates. But more than that, I release versions in between. So those orange dots are releases that happen on a regular basis when I worked on the app and fix bugs, new features, etc. Mostly, I also release before an event, so there's time to see if the app works or breaks. So in that year, there were those events. There's FOSDAM in February. Then there was the FOSCIS conference, which happened actually in real life in March. Was like the last conference. And then in April, first DevOps event, and September, second DevOps event, and in September also the Datenspuren in Dresden, and in December the RC3 Congress. Very similar. In 2021, there was a FOSDEM conference, this time a virtual conference. And in between, there were some releases, as you can see. And here we are at the third DevOc in April. To give you an idea of what actually happens, like how many people use the app on a big event, I pasted in the statistics from the Chaos Communication Congress in 2019. And that's like a typical curve of user statistics. Of course, this is not the same in smaller events, but the typical curve is what I mean is right before the event, there is a lot of people using the app, and then over the year it flats down because it's not that useful anymore. But some people still keep it, and it's useful if you want to review things or if you want to see the recordings, and there's use cases. So let's talk about the highlights of last year. I already mentioned the ChaosFlix export. So you can export your favorites. That was added in 2020. There was a really big rewrite of the date and time handling. So all over the app, there's dates and times for the events, for scheduling, yada, yada. There was an implementation that had quite some flaws. And Ulik, an external contributor, took a lot of time and did a big rewrite. So right now we have like one central place where all the date and time handling happens. And that offered a lot of opportunities for fixing other bugs. So thank you a lot. Second big thing, there was a performance problem in the app when you actually navigate into a talk, into a session and then go back. There was like a lag on the device, and there's a lot of work has been done, and that's quite faster now. So I hope you enjoy it. There is a visual thing, customization for menu colors can now be done according to the event. So right now we have this green color scheme, and that's affecting the menus also. It wasn't before. Technical, there's an Android X migration. So a lot of libraries and Android were changed, and I had to migrate a lot of things in the app. So that was a big package. Then when you click on links, there was actually no touch feedback. You couldn't really see which one you clicked. So there's a highlight right now that hopefully makes it easier to see which link you tap. And when you share an event for Twitter, any social media, then you can actually see a preview now. So we're using the system UI now in the app, and yeah, that makes it more comfortable. I mentioned the translations already. Next, what became very obvious at times of Corona and virtual events was when you share a session with somebody, it's quite important to know which time zone the event is happening. So I added this information to the sharing text, so you really know when things happening. There was a scrolling bug that didn't scroll to the right session. So you get a notification and then you tap on it, but it didn't actually scroll to the right position. That has something to do with the date and time handling, as I mentioned. The schedule update notification and the change dialog appeared quite often. And I was notified about that by some users, and I found some ways to reduce that. So hopefully this is not affecting you too much now. But let me know. The date and time handling rewrite also enabled two other things. First, we have summer and winter time in Germany. And when you actually look back at an event that happened in winter time and you're already in summertime, then the date and times didn't show up correctly. That's fixed now. And also, very important for virtual events, if you're watching this from another time zone, so you're in California or somewhere else, the app should show the date and time correctly in your time zone. You can enable that in the settings, so you don't have to deal with German time zone times, but you can actually see your time. And last but not least, there is I wrote a small script that allows me to check when F-Droid, the alternative Play Store, is ready with deploying the app, and it sends me a notification. It's open source. Take a look if you like. Roadmap. So here's a few points that is open issues where work has to be done. And I invite you very much to take a look and maybe help out if you like. And I go quickly through the list. So there's a lot of rewrite planned for the general architecture. So data should flow from the database into the UI. And I don't go into details right now. I like to migrate from using an ID, which is a old attribute in the data to a GUID that's already started. Take a look. Then there was a request to redesign the detail screen, so add duration information and maybe animations. That's interesting. Then for code coverage, quality of code, there could be some configuration in SonarQube. People like to filter schedule changes by their favorites and not see all the schedule changes. Then accessibility, I like to add a colorblind mode for people. And then there's a idea of extending the binary concept of favorites, because it's like have a favorite or don't have a favorite, but allow multiple tags on a session. So you can actually decide on your own how you like to tag a session. One example that comes into mind is something like watch later, and then you can actually filter the list for your recordings quite easily. Then another one is that the emails and web addresses are not always clickable in the app. So that should be an easy one. And there's a search function missing, which is quite useful if you attend events with a lot of sessions and it's hard to find stuff. I use bitmap icons instead of vector icons in the app, which is not state of the art in Android. So those could be exchanged, but you know, somebody has to do it. The current value of the settings and the settings screen should be shown. That's also an easy one, I guess. And then accessibility again, would be good if someone could do a review with the TalkBack app from Google or any other tool to see how good the app is actually usable via TalkBack. And yeah, for CI builds, it would be interesting to integrate with GitHub Actions and also to have a release build being tested and continuously being built. And that's not everything. There's the issue tracker. The link is there on the slide. And I welcome you to send me your ideas and also help out if you want. I'd like to mention that I work on this alone most of the time. There's contributions from time to time, but it's a lot of work. And there's this bus factor thing. So I really want you to think if you can help in any ways. And there's a lot of things that you can do. It's not all programming. You can actually tell me about how you use the app and if there's use cases that I never saw because I'm in my tunnel. There's all things. If you're good at design or if you actually want to code, you can jump in. There's easy tasks, there's hard tasks. You can financially support me. You can, because I'm doing this also in my spare time a lot, and there's a translation task, as I mentioned, and you can actually join the beta tester group, so you can actually upfront test what's going on in the app, if everything works, and then hopefully it doesn't crash at the actual event, but before. The app is open source. I invite you very much. It's Apache 2.0 licensed. I use Kotlin as the programming language and also Java, but transitioning to Kotlin slowly, but quite a lot already. And that's it. As I mentioned, at 10 past one, there will be a question and answer session. The link can be found in the questions pad or on the website or in the app. And yeah, that's it. Thank you for your attention. And the slides will be online. I put the link in the talk description. And now I'm open to questions from you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Toby, for your talk. And now I feel the questions rushing into the pad, but we have a little delay with the stream, so that might take a second. If you have questions right now, please write them into the pad. You find the link in the talk description. But there is already one question there. So what does it say? For adding angel shifts, if the app already knows the link to the heaven precondition, is it possible to only import the key without the link?
Yeah, so the link to your personal angel shift is quite long, and there's like a individual key at the end. And when I added this feature, I thought it would be easier to copy the whole link and paste it, because you're doing this on a mobile phone, so you copy the whole thing and then paste it. But if it's easier to copy the ID, then I can change that. So we should actually talk about that, because I thought it's easier to copy the whole thing. Yeah, but technically that's no problem.
Okay, no links so far, and no further questions so far. We can wait a little bit to see whether there are more questions coming in.
Yeah.
Now the first thing that comes in is thanks for the great app, which I second, because it's as I said in the beginning, a bit of the lifeline for every participant.
Yeah, I like to use the time to say again, like I'm living from this feedback from people, because there's actually no tracking, no statistics in the app, so I'm quite blind about how many people use this. The only thing is what the Google Play Store tells me. But if people are installing via F-Droid, which is totally fine, I see like nothing. And so I'm very dependent on your feedback. And that can be in many things. So you can actually say how you use the app and tell me your use cases. That helps a lot. And quite lately, somebody wrote an issue on GitHub and did a large description of how he uses the app. And I found like new things that I never thought of. And of course, you can go on Google Play and vote for the app. And then like it's other people say that you like the app. But you could also like tweet about it or write on your blog or share on social media that there's an app, because sometimes people actually don't know that there's an app. And last but not least, if you know of any event that is very similar or any event that you like and they don't have an app, just contact me and maybe we can set it up for the event. Either you can do that or I can do that. I mean, it's open source. You can also do that.
Very good. Yeah, the feedback is coming in. So one feedback is I use the Android version and I really appreciate the compatibility with Android 4.x. So I also have an Android 4 device back there, and that's my designated Chaos phone.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep that. It's quite hard sometimes because external dependencies they like to change. But I actually read that tweet yesterday, and yeah, I mean, for me, I don't see a reason to raise that, but sometimes it's just Google and other parties that force me to raise it. Mm.
So that was an addition to the Angel Shift question. So perhaps two input boxes, one for the whole link and one for the key only. We are getting into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, okay. I will actually have a look at the Angular system if they changed it and made it easier to copy the link, maybe. I haven't taken a look lately.
Mm. One question, you mentioned that you could adapt the app to other events. How difficult is it to adapt that to different events? And does it take up a lot of your time to adapt to certain conditions and availabilities for other events?
The answer is, as always, it depends. The app works best with when the backend is Pretalks or Frap, and there's like a compatible format of the schedule file. But if that isn't the case, then there's ways to like exchange the parser and the network module. I did that already for several events. So there's an Android conference, the DroidCon. I did it there. They use a different backend. And then it's more work, of course. And besides that, if it's like the normal event, there goes a lot of time into customization of colors, icons, the whole social media thing, like setting up the Play Store, writing texts, and preparing screenshots and stuff that is really not technical in a particular way, but takes a lot of time. And so I at least need 2 days to like do the other work. And then, of course, there can be technical things that the backend changed, and new bugs and stuff like that.
So there's another question forming right before my eyes. It's not finished yet. further down in the pads, there are many thanks and appreciations piling up. So everybody seems to be very happy with your work. So maybe an anecdote, I had the Angel Desk and the app on two different devices, so I needed to type. Okay. Okay.
If you write the whole URL, it's quite, I mean, you don't want to type that.
Ah, so because you couldn't copy and paste. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question is not a complete sentence yet, but I will try to start with it. Run a Linux app via app image or from build source code. Thanks. I didn't get it. Maybe for the asking person, maybe you could rephrase it.
Or no, just join the session afterwards, and
yes,
we can sort it out.
Okay, let's wait for a minute to if there comes anything more. If we don't get any more questions right now, we can, yeah, as you already mentioned, there will be a dedicated Q&A session as a self-organized session at 13:10, so 1:10 p.m. And the link is also in the pad, but the link is also in the self-organized sessions list starting at 1:10.
And I like to mention that I also speak German. So if English is a problem, there's the opportunity that we talk Deutsch.
Yes.
Yeah, so actually it's in about 10 minutes. So it's a chance to take a break, go and grab something to eat or go to the toilet, and then we can meet again. And yeah, thanks a lot for your questions and all the thumbs up.
Yes, I would say also that all the other issues and also praises. So if you just want to say thank you, great work, you can also join the session. Why not? Use the link, use the Q&A meeting later on. And yeah, well, I would say this leaves me only to say thank you for your presentation and also the hard work that the presentation is based on. Keep up the good work and have a very good event, everyone.
Same to you. Thank you for moderating.